What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also write for Sports Al Dente, an all LA sports website where I cover the Chargers as well. We've been covering the Chargers for four seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, and this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, on the last show, we did more position groups and we talked about the cornerbacks. But on today's show, we actually have some news to talk about. And the news we're going to start with today is the Tyreek Hill news. The fact that Tyreek Hill was not suspended by the NFL. A little bit surprising to me personally, but we will get into that in the first segment. Then in the second segment, we're going to get into some voicemails from you guys. Glad you guys got to call in. So I know you have a couple of questions on there. So we're going to answer Matt and Gonzalez and their voicemail questions about training camp and also about how the Chargers can put more fans in the seats. And then to wrap up the show today, ESPN came out with a list of future power rankings, basically ranking every team on how good they will be the next three seasons. And we'll tell you where the Chargers landed on that list and if we agree or disagree. All right, John. So, I mean, let's start with this Tyreek Hill news. Not good for Charger fans, for sure, but Tyreek Hill, I mean, on a more serious level, has much more than football going on, and there was a lot of question about whether he would be suspended because there was an audio clip that was released by a local news station, him and the mother of his child arguing and basically saying, hey, daddy did it, and that, of course, was in reference to his child having a broken arm, and he was being investigated for potentially abusing that child and breaking the child's arm. The case was dropped against him there, but the NFL was still investigating in that piece. He also told his baby's mother that she should be terrified of him too. Some serious stuff there, John. The judicial system didn't do anything. He had the case dropped against him, so we're not going to speculate as to whether he did or not harm his child because obviously we do not know. But at the same time, with the NFL investigating, many people thought, even just with everything that was out there, that Tyreek Hill would get some sort of suspension.
A lot of people did believe he would get a suspension, but based on the reports and the articles, it has been said that they couldn't find evidence that said that he did it. They didn't find evidence that said he didn't do it. It was just they just couldn't confirm that he did do it, and this is why there is no suspension. They also said if there is more evidence to come out, then they will reopen their case. So right now, it's not so much he's done for, he's going to play the whole season. Right now, it's we're going to wait and see if more evidence comes out. And until then, he gets to play because he's not guilty yet, basically what it comes down to.
Right. And I mean, it's just a really scary situation, John, because this is the same woman that Tyreek Hill pleaded guilty to in 2015 for a domestic abuse by strangulation. So he actually pled guilty to that. And then you hear him on that voicemail saying, you should be terrified of me too, basically. That's just, I mean, that's a lot to really take in. And it's a lot for the league to not act on. I understand why they didn't, but there are some situations in the past that they have suspended people for that. Jimmy Smith was suspended for threats and, you know, verbal assault. And also you had Josh Brown, the kicker from the Giants, who said all those terrible things. And he got suspended as well, ended up being seven games. So there is somewhat of a precedent just for the threatening part of it. Because for him to threaten that woman who, I mean, he's already physically abused is pretty scary. I feel for the child who has a broken arm. I mean, that situation must be really terrible for a child to have to go through. And the investigation as to whether Tyreek Hill is taking good care of that child is still ongoing. So there's definitely more to play out in this situation. But
well, there was also audio that said the mom brought up Tyreek Hill punching him in the chest or something, punching the kid in the chest. And Tyreek Hill says something along the lines of, like, he knows why it happened, or he knows
right
why he was getting it or something like that. So I'm with you that there's a lot of stuff that was said that makes you go, well, what about the, at least the verbal stuff that was said? What are we going to do about this? But I mean, as you said, they haven't confirmed what he has done. It's really, I want to say, inconsistent of the NFL with how they do this stuff. Because you've seen people get fines and suspensions that don't match up with the crime. Someone does weed and they're suspended the whole year. But if you punch your girlfriend in the elevator, you're suspended 4 games. I mean, well, how does that match up? So if this kind of thing goes along with that, what exactly is the NFL's punishment for things? What is the guideline?
Yeah, it is such a gray area, and it doesn't seem like there's any consistency. And I'm not just saying that as someone that covers the Chargers, just as a human being. I mean, that's such a scary situation, and you just hope for the best for that woman and that child, because who knows what's going on there. The NFL said that Crystal Espinal, who is the baby's mother, did not go along with their investigation and was not really cooperative there. So who knows what's happening. And I will also mention that it didn't help the case when the news station allowed an audio to play that wasn't the full audio. So the audio was released later on, the full version of it. It was not doctored, the shortened version. It was just shortened. So there was more to it than just what was heard on that audio clip. But still, at the same time, there's plenty that was said in there that could have been acted on, in my opinion. But let's talk about Tyreek Hill on the field, John. And the Chargers don't play the Chiefs till late in the season, so they probably would have had him on the team unless he was suspended for a whole year. There was probably no suspension that he would have gotten, that he would have missed games against the Chargers. But at the same time, that's a huge piece in this division race, Sean. I know me and you are both on board that saying that Tyreek Hill is the biggest difference maker on that team. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is great, and he's going to have another really good season. I'm almost sure of it. But Tyreek Hill's just special blend of athleticism, his agility, the way he cuts, his top-end speed, his returning abilities. I mean, he is just the ultimate chess piece in the hands of a guy like Andy Reid, who does so well at scheming guys open and getting guys in space. Tyreek Hill is the most dangerous weapon on that team.
He is, and the difference that he makes with that team is if you were to throw the ball to anybody else, so let's just say Patrick Mahomes is rolling out, trying to find somebody, and he finds, I don't know, Damian Williams. Let's just say he finds him at the catch and a tackle. Maybe he gains an extra 2 yards by reaching. If he does that same play to Tyreek Hill is making somebody miss, and nobody's catching with that speed, and that's at least another 30 yards, at least, if not a touchdown. And then, as you mentioned, it's also the punt return and the kick return game. There's so much that he brings to it. If the Chiefs alone are going off of catching the ball and being tackled, we showed when we played them that we could eventually slow them down and catch up to that when we played them the second time last year. And the Ravens were showing that they could do that as well. They kept the game close with that kind of stuff. So Tyreek Hill being on this team is going to be the big difference of them winning the AFC West or not. Now, I will also say that even with his suspension, if he was to only, say, get a 4-game suspension, Chiefs could have lost a couple of games that would have made the difference in the AFC West race within those 4 games. Or it could have done something that keeps Tyreek Hill from being in sync. Maybe he's not in midseason form by the time we play him or something. Like, maybe it ruined the chemistry of the team just a little bit because he's not been at practice. Usually when you get suspended, you're banned from practice as well. There's a whole bunch of things like that that could have played into that if we're just talking game plan wise and not worrying about the disciplinary side of the justice.
I think that's a really important part that you talked about, John, because we're talking about how this relates to the Chargers. How is this going to affect the Chargers and their race for the AFC West? And I think it greatly impacts it, even for those reasons, even if he wouldn't have missed a game. But on the field, Tyreek Hill, I mean, there's the reason he dropped to the 5th round was not because of his ability to play on the football field. He's a real game changer. I think I saw his 200-meter dash time would have ranked 6th at the London Olympics. Like, that's just the type of top-end speed that you're talking about there. And that's not even including the agility. I mean, to have Patrick Mahomes and a guy like Tyreek Hill, where you just say, throw it as far as you can, and he can run and get it, it's such a dangerous combination. And it's another thing for the Chargers to have to deal with, is having him still on the field. You're not going to get an easy way out with Tyreek Hill. And I think it's a big reason why the Chargers did so much to try and get more athletic this offseason and last offseason, bringing in a guy like Derwin James, bringing in the other athletic pieces that they have, a guy like Nazir Adderley. I think those are all in somewhat because of, you have to go against a guy like Tyreek Hill, and you can't have lead-footed linebackers out there chasing him around in the middle of the field.
I think it also is to prepare for if you have to play the Patriots again as well, too, because guys like Sony Michel and Julian Edelman were those elusive type guys. They're nowhere close to as fast as Tyreek Hill, but There were those guys that once they catch the ball and they're elusive, they are hard to tackle, and that's why we got athletic guys too. But Tyreek Hill, I think, is going to be the main point of trying to get like Drew Tranquil and those type of guys onto the field so that you could tackle him and keep up with his route running.
Yeah, and they got a lot of good tackling as well this offseason, which has been a thorn in their side for a long time. I think overall, I mean, the athleticism, the ability to tackle, all of those things are going to come into play because the Chargers definitely loaded up on guys they think can do those things and can run a little bit as well. But we do have another segment to get into, our fan questions about training camp and about how the Chargers can get some more fans into the seats, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys, of course, about our special friends over at BlueChew.com. If you guys want to improve your game in the bedroom, the best place to do it is at BlueChew.com. And yes, that's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises, because if you don't, the opportunity might not be there anymore. The best part about Blue Chew is it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If they go to BlueChew.com, they can get their first shipment for free when they use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping, and the product is free at BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on, guys, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, John. Well, now it's time to get into a lighter subject. We have some fan questions. Thank you to everyone who calls into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number for that is 323-524-7924. Every voicemail we get gets played on the show. So today I want to send a special thanks to Gonzalez and Matt for giving their voicemails to us for us to play on the show today. So let's go ahead and do it in the order they came in. So Gonzalez called first, and he had a question about how the Chargers could get more fans in the stadium, which is obviously a legitimate question right now. But let's go ahead and hear it in his words and see what Gonzalez has to ask us.
Hey, guys, it's Gonzalez. I got a question. What do you guys think the Chargers organization can do to get more fans to show up for the home game? We don't really show up like that as a team. Thanks.
All right, John. Well, we all know the story of the struggling fan base of the Chargers in Los Angeles. And I know, hey, everyone that's listening to this show finds themselves in that boat as well. But I think, John, there are definitely some things that they could do to get more fans in the seat. But I do think there's also some reasons why it's not going to happen for a while. But what do you think the Chargers could do to get more fans to show up to the games?
Should I go down the whole entire list? I mean,
give me the top three.
Well, first of all, you should maybe learn to keep track of who is buying the season tickets, Chargers, because pretty sure about 60%, maybe 70% of the people buying these tickets are people that are going to be reselling them. They're scalpers.
Right.
And so the tickets already cost a lot as it is. If you try to buy season tickets, you're going to be paying at least maybe like $80, somewhere around there, for the cheapest ones.
Yeah.
And those sell really fast. And so that's like an $800 season ticket right there. And that's with discount. When you get season tickets, the seats are discounted because you're buying 10 of them. You try to buy a single game ticket, those tickets are more around the $90 to $100 range. But once they're on the scalper's market, they cost even more. So right there alone, people are already having a hard time getting the tickets to go, even if they live in LA. And then if you're talking about people that live in San Diego, you're talking the drive, the parking, and then the cost of the ticket, and then trying to hurry up and get back home in time for work. It's a lot of the struggle to go through. I have the Game Time app open right now, looking at the prices of tickets just for the Steelers game against the Chargers is $198 cheapest for the resale price. The Bronco game is $85. The Raider game, ready for this, is $129. These are the cheapest tickets for the Charger games on there. The cheapest games you can go to on here are the Colts game and the Texans game that are $77 and $59 cheapest.
Well, that's for the first game, too.
Yeah, and that, and some of these tickets are going to go up and down. So let's just say, let's say the Packers are undefeated when they come to meet the Chargers and the Chargers have one loss. The Packers game right now is $197 cheapest. That will go up if they somehow have good records. It's not going to get any easier. And then I would also say that it's time to actually start taking care of the fans, something that hasn't happened in the San Diego era or the LA era. It's time to actually start treating your fans like they're actually your people and not just somebody giving you money. It's time to actually treat them with respect. Start doing stuff for them. Maybe in the off season, you get the team together or something right during like mini camp, and let all the fans come meet the rookies or something. You know, besides just throwing a free draft party, you know, do something that actually makes the fans happy. Do some random drawings during the off season. Make like a weekly drawing to get jerseys or trips to away games. Something that makes the fans feel they're appreciated. I think more people would be on board for this stuff. Most of them just want to sit at home and get the free game.
Yeah, or even just give out something that, you know, it gives a fan a chance to meet one of their favorite players. Things like that. Get the fans involved more. I think that's a good point. And even with the discounts on the season tickets, you're still rolling in those two preseason games as well. So, I mean, it's not really that discounted because you basically have to buy preseason games even if you don't want to go. And those Packer tickets are not going to get any cheaper. So, for me, I think the Chargers have a hard time getting more fans to come to the games because it's not just getting fans that are willing to be in the streets and say, hey, like my team, or my team's the best, or be on social media, because the Chargers seem to have at least a decent amount of people on Twitter, on social media, saying that they rep the Chargers or whatever the case is. But to get those people to spend, like John just told you, over $100 for the cheapest seat for pretty much every game, that's going to be a tough sell, because guess what? Their loyal fan base that you had was in San Diego. And I know Los Angeles Charger fans or even Orange County Charger fans, they might not want to hear that, but a lot of people in San Diego are still scarred by what happened, and it's going to take a long time to get over that. And I think it's going to take a lot of winning as well, because that's the other thing, John, is winning is so important to the city of Los Angeles. It's the home of the Lakers and the Kings and other, you know, storied franchises. So people aren't going to show up unless you can win. And I don't think winning's going to be all of it, but I think they do have to continue winning, because even last year, getting a playoff win, finishing tied for the best record in the AFC, I don't think that's going to immediately put more people in the seats, at least by a significant number. And they do need to raise that number of fans showing up to games, because guess what? They're moving in to a much larger stadium in a couple of years. So the Chargers have a lot of work to do. But at the same time, John, the Chargers had, you know, 50 plus years earning that with San Diego, and it's going to take a lot more than two seasons to gain the respect of those fans back and to really create an entire fan base from almost scratch the way that they did it. So they have a long way to go. There's definitely things they can do, but right now, I mean, they don't have enough people showing up to their games, which is why everyone says that they have basically 16 road games per season. But let's get into Matt's question, because Matt wants to talk to us about training camp. So let's go ahead and hear it in his own words.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Matt in Huntington Beach. I really like the show. My question is in regards to training camp. So training camp's coming up at the end of this month. I'm just wondering, like, have you guys ever been to training camp before? I'm a lifelong Orange County Chargers fan, so it's cool. Like, I've never had a chance to go down there and check it out, but I want to go this year. So I just wondering, like, what's there to look for? You know, I think most of us have watched Hard Knocks. Well, except for one of you. I don't remember who it was that said they hadn't watched Hard Knocks, but get it together, man. Anyways, just looking for your thoughts on training camp and everything, and I appreciate the show. So thanks, guys.
All right, John. Well, I'll start by saying that I have been to training camp. I've been credentialed to go to training camp and be on the field with the players and interview the players. And it was a really cool experience. That was back when they were in San Diego. But I'm going to try to go again this year. If we do go, we will let you guys know. If we do go, it'll probably be Sunday. John, you've been to a bunch of training camps, and if we can go, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah, I've been to a ton of them. I used to live literally like right next to it in the military housing when they were in San Diego. And when I moved to City Heights, I still went to the games, even though it was a 7-mile run just to get there. I used to do a 6-mile run to work, 6-mile run back, shower, eat, 7-mile run to practice, 7-mile run back, and my boss would then call me into work. It was a lot. And then the sunburns, everything. But the cool part about it is you actually get to see what's going on. You don't have to sit at home and wait for an article coming out going, oh, by the way, there's this guy, Greg Gatson, who might be a pretty good cornerback or something. You know, I went to all the practices I could. I only missed like maybe 3 in a 5-6 year span. And you get to see the players after the practice. You don't get to see all of them. You get to see some. Every now and then, Philip Rivers would pop up, and you get an autograph for him. You get to get autographs a lot. You get to meet players. I know this year they came up with like this high five zone or whatever that you get to go to before the practice starts. You get to see the players practice. There's also these games, I guess, they're going to have there, like the little off-to-the-side tents for kids to play. And you get to meet the Charger girls. And I hear this year they're trying to get the Chargers alumni to show up too. So they've kind of gotten a little bit more up with it, because when I went, it was just practice, some radio booth tents. They sold old merchandise. Like I got a Drayton Florence game worn jersey for $50. A great deal. So they've moved up a little bit, but the best part is seeing the players practice. You get to see it for your own eyes. I went to scout. I did just so I could scout, so I know what to expect, and I'd make my own final roster before the final roster actually came out and see how I rank with the head coach's mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that you can gain from going to Chargers training camp, the opening one. The training camp starts July 25th, so that's this Thursday, guys. So just to give you guys an idea, if we go, we're going to try to go on Sunday. Whether I'm credentialed or not, we don't know yet, but if not, we'll just be in the stands, which is all it used to be at Chargers training camp, was just a bunch of stands, a food truck selling snow cones, and then a fence, and then the field. I mean, that was pretty much what it is before. So hopefully they are updating it a little bit. And especially if you have kids, it's definitely a good thing to do to bring them there. If they can handle the heat for a couple hours, you know, different players, like John said, will walk up to the fence and start giving kids autographs, and you can buy little footballs there for them to sign and things of that nature. But I think it is really fun. I think seeing the interactions between these guys just as friends and teammates is really good. You get to hear so much of what they're saying. You know, there's not a bunch of fans or a bunch of loud stadium noise or anything. You can hear these guys talking to each other on the field. And that part to me is one of the funnest parts, because that's, you know, where things really start to heat up.
Even after practices, man, those guys are, I remember when Stuckey was on the team, that dude was comical after games. My favorite one was Joe Barksdale walked out of the practice area and no fans swarmed. The fans didn't swarm. I was surprised. No fans swarmed him. There was no security around him. He walked out, grabbed 2 lemonades, and was walking back in. And Brandon Mebane looks up and sees it. And he goes, "Hey, man, that's selfish right there." And Barksdale's like, "Hey, man, it's been a long day." And Stucky's like, "What you talking about, man?" He looks up. He goes, "Whoa, okay, Mebane. Hey, man, tomorrow during one-on-one drills, I need you to smash that man, okay?" And it was funny as hell.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that you just don't get to see in any other capacity. So it's cool the Chargers are opening up some of their camps. If the Raiders, in Raiders fashion, are not letting any fans go to any of their practices. So go Raiders.
For good reasons.
Yeah, probably for good reasons, I would say. But that is going to wrap things up for that segment. We do have one more to get into, talking about the power rankings, or the future power rankings of the NFL, and where the Chargers stack up on that list, coming up right after this. All right, John, now it's time to get into ESPN's future power ranking. So basically, just to give you guys an idea of what this is a power rankings of teams for the next 3 seasons. So this is how is each team going to perform over the next 3 years. So it's not just about this year and how good your team is right now. This is about how good is it now and how good is it going to be over the next few seasons. So the Chargers come in on this list at number 10. Not bad. I mean, the Chargers have an aging quarterback. That's obviously a big thing to get over. I don't think most people look at their coaching staff and say that the coaching staff is necessarily X's and O's wise taking it to the next level. And that's what this is grading every team on. It's overall roster minus the quarterback, quarterbacks, coaching, drafting, and front office. So the Chargers coaching on this list is definitely a hit for them because the coaching comes in at number 14, which is not the best. The draft comes in at 8, and I think that might be a little bit low because of how Tom Telesco has drafted. He's had an all-pro or a pro bowler in every single draft class that he's had, so I think he should definitely be top 5 there. The front office gets a 14. I feel kind of whatever about that, but the teams in front of the Chargers, John, the Browns at 9, the Rams at 8, Saints at 7, you have Steelers at 6, which is a little bit confusing. Then you have the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and then the top two teams are the Patriots and the Colts come in at number 1. So, John, when you hear that list, does it sound about right to you? I would say a couple of the things that stood out to me is, hey, if you're going to knock the Charger on their quarterback situation, you'd think you would have some of those points taken away from, you know, teams like the Saints or the Steelers, probably not the Patriots because Tom Brady's going to play until he's 45 freaking years old. But I did think they got slighted a little bit there, but do you think 10 is a good number for them on this list?
I'm hesitant to even put them in the top 10, really.
Wow.
With the contract situations we're about to come up with and the Chargers' willingness to pay players, I'm kind of wondering if we're even going to have the young guys we still have. Guys could be leaving soon, and you mentioned Rivers leaving. I don't even know if they're going to be even top 15 in 3 years, so I'm hesitant to put them up there, but I agree with you. Guys like the Steelers, even though they've been pretty good at getting themselves new quarterbacks in the past years.
And Big Ben got an extension, too. I mean, that definitely plays a big part of it.
It does, but I mean, they're always pretty good at getting somebody to play the role as long as the defense steps up. They have that role player quarterback, and then if he ends up being, you know, a Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger type that makes plays, then, you know, that's just the cherry on top. But the one that's weird to me is the Browns. I know the Browns are rising and they're looking good, but the management always still somehow messes up the team. Somehow they always mess up the team. And I'm really wondering if they're going to still be top 10 in 3 years. They look really good right now. I won't lie. The Browns look dangerous, but somehow, some way, they always mess up.
Yeah, it's still the Browns, but I don't really have a problem with them being on this list just because, hey, they just signed a bunch of guys to, you know, multi-year contracts that will still have them around in 3 years. They have a lot of young players, rookies, second, third-year players. They're going to have to pay Myles Garrett either next year or the year after that, so that's something they have. But I disagree with you on the Chargers just because I think part of the reason this is on here is just the fact that Phillip Rivers hasn't signed an extension yet. I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to play in any other jersey in the NFL. I'll say that. I mean, I'm pretty confident about that. And I think he'll play at least the next 2 seasons. I wouldn't rule out 3 seasons. I would definitely not say that's out of the question, but it's a wait-and-see basis. You see what these other guys are doing. Phillip Rivers is not really that type, but hey, we will see. We'll see if he wins a ring, and maybe that gets him to retire. But I think that they're just taking too much away from them from the quarterback position because I think at least 2 of the next 3 years you're going to have a really, really good team. And, hey, you should still be able to pay a guy like Joey Bosa. But I get what you're saying because we just don't know how the Chargers are going to fit all this because right now they have all these young guys on rookie contracts and that's really, really helping them out. And you're going to have to pay these guys. That's the problem with, you know, having such good draft classes is that once you have these players break out for you, no matter where you drafted them, that doesn't matter on the second contract. They can kind of command whatever they want. But having Derwin James already locked in for the next 4 years, having other young players, you have Desmond King for the next 2 years before you have to pay him. You have a lot of young talent on this team that if they can re-sign the right pieces, and we'll see how that goes, and if they can keep drafting young players, I think they can definitely easily be a top 10 team because that's the thing, John. We're looking at it right now. With the way Tom Telesco has been drafting, who knows, like, what makes you think that he can't go and draft even younger guys and even more impact players? So I think it puts a lot of pressure on Tom Telesco. Hey, you picked these guys. They were really good. You're not going to be able to pay all of them at some point. So you're going to have to keep stocking this team and hitting on all of these draft picks if we're going to stay elite as far as talent goes.
Well, you got to remember too that some of these draft picks were top draft picks. Like, Joey Bosa was not a middle-of-the-round draft pick. We had to suck in order to get him. So, I mean, are you going to be able to draft someone that's that good in the later rounds because you're getting winning records the next 2 or 3 years? Are you going to be able to draft? That's because Bill Belichick could make a grocery store bagger the next Hall of Fame cornerback. That's just Bill Belichick's way of doing it. We don't have a Bill Belichick. We have a head coach that's basically the disciplinary respect coach, and you have a guy in Ken Whisenhunt who has predictable play calling that has enough talent to make it work, and you have Gus Bradley who can be really smart and then sometimes just absolutely screw up. There's no Bill Belichick anywhere on this roster, so you got to have talent. And Joey Bosa was the number three pick. You got guys like Desmond King who were a really good pickup in a later round. Can you constantly rely on later round picks? And you got guys like Latavius Brown who was a really good pick, and now he gets injured and he's not the same guy anymore. I'm not willing to rely on that. Some of these guys you're going to have to pay, or they're going to have to take a pay cut. You got to pull a Tom Brady and a Phillip Rivers and take less money. And if they don't do that, then who are we going to have? Melvin Gordon's already starting right now. And if he gets his way, what's to say that Joey Bosa's not going to go, well, if he got his way, I get my way too. And Desmond King's going to have that same thought. There's just so many problems. And then you got veterans like Casey Hayward. Is he going to be here that much longer too? Like, could he retire? You know, there's so many things that could happen with these next 2 years. I can't even think that all that talent's going to be there.
I mean, let me be clear by saying it. There's a chance that it's not, but you could raise all of those questions with pretty much every other team. We don't know how these players are going to look or what this team's going to look like in 3 years. There's too many question marks there. But in his time of being a general manager, Tom Telesco has loaded this team up with talent. Whether it's, you know, it's a guy like Joey Bosa early, no matter where they've picked in the draft, they've found talented players. And that's how really good teams, John, stay good, is by drafting. So he's going to have to keep finding late picks that are values, finding good picks at the top of drafts like Jerry Tillery. I think that's a really good pick for 28. And I think you saw in this draft, there's going to be some good players that slide to you, even if you're picking late in the first round. And it's not always the same caliber of players. You're not going to get Derwin James at 17 every year, but it has to start there for me. And smart free agent signings. That's something this front office really been, I wouldn't say spectacular. I think they've had a lot of good bargain deals like Casey Hayward. I think Mike Pouncey's deal for what the market was out there for offensive linemen was very reasonable, no matter how you felt like he played. I think going into that's a really reasonable contract. So I think a lot of this, John, is going to go on Tom Telesco's plate, and he's going to have to figure out how to keep this team competitive till the end of Phillip Rivers' career and beyond that, because that's what the next three seasons have in store for us.
And
a lot of unknowns.
The really big question is, within the next 3 years, is Telesco going to actually target the offensive line?
No. The answer to that is no. Tom Telesco will never target the offensive line. But yeah, I think that's a great point. That's the biggest thing that the Chargers are going to have to do, is learn how to draft and sign offensive linemen. I mean, John, you checkmated me with that one. I mean, I'll talk high about Tom Telesco all day long, but if Trey Pipkins isn't the starter, I mean, I don't even want to talk about that. There's not enough time.
Daniel Wade has been drafted to be the Chargers' next offensive tackle.
I mean, I could give them a run for their money. I promise you that. That's going to wrap things up for today's show. Thanks to everyone for listening. Until next time, on the next show, we're going to have to talk about a little bit more about Melvin Gordon, how Zeke Elliott might hold out now. Melvin Gordon's teammates kind of reacting to that news. We have Keenan Allen, a quote from Keenan Allen and his support of Melvin Gordon. So we'll talk about that on the next show later on in the week, guys. But until then, make sure you're on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Google Podcasts. Tune in the Himalaya podcasting app, wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get the show before everyone else. And thanks to everyone who called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. And if you guys want to get your voice on the show like Matt and Gonzalez did today, make sure to call into 323-524-7924 so you can get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. Well, we'll talk to you guys later on in the week. Get ready for training camp, guys. It's coming in hot, and hopefully we'll see you there this weekend. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.